Today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. My name is Chad Roberts. I'm so glad you're joining me on Awakened to Grace Radio. And today is part 2 of a sermon called Worldliness as Unbelief. We're going to see what the scripture says concerning worldliness and also the coming of Christ and how worldliness, if we're not concerned, if we're not careful, can cause us to miss the coming of Jesus Christ. I hope that you enjoy today part 2 of our sermon called Worldliness as Unbelief in the series called Battling Unbelief.
It is not being religious or kind or moral or good or spiritual. It is about being born again. And there's only one way to be born again, and that is to come through the blood. And that is the only way. That is the only way. Christ is coming. And the Bible says that when he comes, he's looking for a people of faith on the earth. He's looking for people of faith. Will you be one of those? Just how quickly are we to the return of Christ? Well, let me give you some things to consider. The Bible says that he's going to return with a shout, with a cry of command, with the archangel of the Lord, with the blast of a trumpet. But when will that be? See, scoffers have always said, well, if Christ were going to come, would he not have already done it? People have always said, people said that back in the Bible days. Do you realize that? That's why Peter wrote, scoffers laugh and say, when is he coming? And Peter instructs us, and listen to what Peter said. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, one day I was praying and I asked the Lord, because in my very small thinking, in my feeble thinking, my human thinking, and very often my sinful thinking, one day I asked the Lord, and I was very sincere in my heart. I said, Lord, why does it feel like you have tricked the church all these generations? The Bible says you're coming quickly. And as a human, I wouldn't consider 2,000 years quickly. And I said, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. It feels almost like you've given every generation false hope. And every generation of the church has looked for your coming and you haven't came. Why didn't you just, and I said, Lord, forgive me, but why didn't you just almost, you know, be honest and say, it's probably going to be a while. I mean, that's a fair question, isn't it? And I love it when the Lord answers my questions with the Bible. And one day I'm reading in 1 John, and the Bible says that thus everyone who hopes in his appearing purifies himself. And the Lord said, Chad, do you see why I want my people to hope in my coming? Because it changes the way we live. It purifies us. You know your life right now. You know your faults. You know your shortcomings. You know your blatant sin. If you knew that Jesus was going to return at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, would you change the way you're living right now? If you really knew that, if there was an audible voice from heaven right now that says, pack your bags, last call, what would you repent from right now today if you really believed that? See, the Lord wants us to look to his coming because it purifies our daily life. We would not do, we would not be, we would not act the way that so many of us do if we really believed that Christ would come at any moment. It purifies us. So let me show you a couple of things. people asking when the Lord's coming back, it's nothing new at all. As a matter of fact, did you know that Jesus' followers asked him the same question? In Matthew chapter 24, you're welcome to turn there. You can read it on your own time. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is at the beautiful temple. And, you know, the temple was this magnificent structure. It was the crown jewel of Israel. And his disciples sat down with him. And they said, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of the end of the age and the sign of your coming? And tell us, when will these things be? And Jesus gives them a very interesting answer. Jesus tells his followers, the angels in heaven do not know, and the Son of Man doesn't know. Only the Father knows. Now, I believe that changed, and I'm going to show you why. But Jesus said, even me, the Son of Man, I don't know. Only the Father knows. How interesting is that? And then Jesus is going to say some things with precision. But listen to what he says. He says, you see this beautiful temple? I'm telling you, there's coming a day that not one stone will be left upon the other. Let me tell you how precise the words of Jesus were. Now remember, Jesus died in the 30s, AD 30. Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, so almost 40 years later. Jesus couldn't have known this had he not been the Son of God. And listen to what he said. He said, I'm telling you, not one stone will be left upon another. Let me tell you a bit of history right here. When Titus, when the general Titus of the Roman army sieged Jerusalem, he was so greedy for the gold in the temple. They would melt gold in the temple. And as the years passed, all this gold that was melted seeped in and between the large stones of the temple floor. And he was so greedy for the gold that you know what he commanded his soldiers to do? To rip the stones out to get the gold. And just as Jesus said, not one stone was left upon another. Isn't that fascinating? Now, there are Muslims today who would try to say, well, Israel, you know, the temple was never there and it never belonged to Israel. And, you know, they try to argue that. No, listen, you can Google it. And some of you, if you've ever been to Rome, I had an opportunity to go there and you can Google it today. There is what's called the Arch of Titus. And this beautiful, magnificent arch was built for Titus when he returned to Rome as a conquering hero. And in the Arch of Titus, when you walk through it, they have got this incredible concrete, beautiful, I don't know if it may be a different material, whatever it is. They have got pictures along the side of how they sacked Jerusalem and the things they carried out, like the seven golden lampstands and the cups of the Lord and all these things that belong to the Lord. And there, it literally, when I walked through it, it just put chills all over me to see the words of Jesus cemented in history to where it's irrefutable. Jesus said, in the last days, there'll be war. There'll be rumors of war. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. All this is in Matthew 24. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There'll be pestilence and famines. And people go, yeah, well, those things have always been. Sure, but that's not the point Jesus is making. Intensity is the point. He said, when you see all these things, the end is not yet. These are birth pangs. Those of you who are pregnant right now, we've got about 8 or 9 moms pregnant in the church right now. You know that? Thank you for helping add to our church growth. We appreciate your commitment. We thank you for your commitment to that. May the Lord bless you and add many more to you in Jesus' name. Except for my wife. We're done. We're finished. Anyways. Get off in the weeds there, rabbit trail. Those of you who have had children, you may be pregnant for many months, but you know when birth pangs kick in, right? You know when contractions begin, right? This is what Jesus is talking about. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been famine. There's always been pestilence. Look at this. This diabolical coronavirus that seemed to be forming into a pandemic. There's always been these things, but Jesus is talking about the intensity of them. Friends, we're living in the last days. So watch this. AD 70, Titus crushes Jerusalem. That day, Israel ceases to be a nation, a geographical nation. They're still a people, but they're no longer a nation. And Jesus says that in the last days, you're going to see wars and rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famine, earthquakes in various places. But then the end is not yet. Not yet. Jesus said, this gospel must be preached to all peoples, to all nations. Now, this is beautiful. If you're with me, just say amen. Is it okay if I just teach for a minute? Let's get this. I love, this is my heart language right here. We're getting into, okay. You know, when Jesus said that the gospel must be preached to all nations, you realize Jesus doesn't mean geographical nations, right? Like borders, because borders change and nations change. He doesn't mean nations like Romania or South Africa or China or Russia. He means people groups. The Greek word for nations there is ethnos, people groups, ethnos. And what Jesus is saying is until all people groups have heard the gospel, he's not going to return. Friends, let me tell you the most exciting news. We follow Wycliffe Bible translators, and we support Wycliffe Bible translators financially. As a matter of fact, some of you weren't here a couple of years ago. This church, to the glory of God, we translated the book of 1 John for a people group in Southeast India that has zero portions of the Bible in their native tongue. And thank God we funded the book of 1 John for that people group. Amen? Do you know what we do when we do things like that? We are ushering in the return of Jesus Christ. And right now, Wycliffe tells us that there are about 8,000 people groups with no scripture in their native tongue translated yet. And God is raising up workers all over the world. God is raising up financing all over the world. And to the glory of God, this is what they estimate. They estimate that by the year 2025, all people groups of the earth will have a portion of scripture in their native tongue. Amen? We're at the finish line of it. The finish line. The finish line. Glory to God. Amen. In AD 70, Israel ceased to be a nation. Now, if you want to understand prophecy, if you want to understand end times, this is what you have to understand. I want you to note this if you've never understood this. Israel is God's prophetic clock. Everything starts and stops with Israel. Israel is God's prophetic clock. Now, come on, don't let me lose you right now. We're talking about the return of Christ. We're talking about worldliness. And we're talking about why Christ is about to return. From AD 70, Israel was not a nation. In the 1100s, the 1200s, the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, all of that period of world history, God's clock was silent. But do you know what happened on May 14th, 1948? In our lifetime, Israel became a nation. Do you know what the ramifications of that is, church? That means that the hands of God's prophetic clock began to tick. That means scripture is literally unfolding before our eyes. Hallelujah. God's clock is ticking right now, today. And right now, there is nothing hindering the coming of Christ. Now, you know, in the church world, there's a great debate of when Christ will come, if it is before the rapture or before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, after the tribulation. I can tell a lot of families come to our church unchurched, and we're really their first real church, and I love that. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, their questions are like, you know, what's communion, and, you know, where are the bathrooms, and, you know, it's great. But I can usually tell when someone comes from a church background, because a lot of times this is a question I get asked a lot, and I kind of chuckle when people ask me this. They go, Pastor Chad, are you a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Some of you are like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about. You a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. What they're asking is, do I believe that Christ is going to come back before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? A pre, mid, or post? And you know what? I just laugh. And you know what I tell people? I'm a pan-trib. A pan-trib. I believe everything's going to pan out exactly how God wants it all to pan out, right? Now, I'm not dogmatic on it, but let me just, again, can I teach for what time? Tell me, somebody tell me what time it is. Well, amen. I'll take it. I'll take it. Amen. I have no idea what time it is. Okay. I lean immensely heavy toward pre-trib. And let me explain to you why. When I say the word rapture, what comes to your mind? Now, again, I realize, brothers, sisters, some of you have not been in strong churches in the past, and some of you don't have any teaching in this, and that's okay. Don't feel bad. Don't feel any less. But I want to teach you right now, because these are things you need to know. If we're going to live like people who are listening for the trumpet, we need to know these things. So if you'll allow me, let me just do a little teaching right here. So there are people who, you know, when it comes to the church world, you got camps, and you got people who believe this and they don't believe that, and they argue and they debate and all this and that. So you got people who don't believe in a rapture. They only believe in the second coming. I personally believe in both. I believe that there is a rapture of the church, and I believe there is a second coming of Jesus. And let me explain the difference. What the Bible teaches, and people who don't believe in a rapture, this is what they'll say. Well, the word rapture is not in the church, in the Bible. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible, but we still believe it. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the teaching is there, the doctrine is there. The word rapture, just because our English word rapture is not in the Bible, doesn't mean the teaching's not there. In our text, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think maybe verse 16, it says, we who are alive and remain, when Christ comes, we who are alive and remain, will be caught up in the clouds. We'll be caught up with him. That word caught up means rapture. Now, why do I believe that's different than the coming of the Lord? Now, in other places in the New Testament, when it says the day of the Lord or the coming of the Lord, that's referring to what we call his second coming. His first coming was he came as a baby, virgin born. He came to die. His second coming, he's going to physically come to the earth, and he's going to reign, and he's going to rule forever. Now, this is the difference. In the rapture, he comes in the clouds. Remember what we said? How did he ascend to the Father? In the clouds. In a like manner, he's going to come again. But he doesn't physically touch the earth. Rather than physically coming to the earth, we go to be with him. The Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll be gone. We will go from this mortal body. And listen, when that day comes, that Christ comes, we who are alive and remain, if it is our generation, we will not taste death And we'll be the first generation ever to not taste death, because in a moment we'll be translated into the clouds with the coming of the Lord like that. Amen? That's what the scripture teaches. Now, why is that different than the second coming? Because in the second coming, Christ physically, literally touches down on earth, not to go back. He's going to stay. Now, what's interesting, this summer, Lord willing, we're going to do a study on the seven churches of Revelation. It's going to be fascinating. Fascinating. I'm already prepping for it, and it's not till June and July. But here's what's fascinating. When you read the book of Revelation, now listen to this. The first three chapters are all about the church. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about the church of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to prove to you in the Bible is the seven churches of Revelation, not only were they literal physical congregations in Asia Minor, they also represent church history. We can go back and look. So, for example, the church of Ephesus, we can show, we can prove with history how that was the first century church. The church of Smyrna, Jesus said, you're going to have 10 days of persecution. That was the Roman Empire. Do you realize that there were literally 10 waves of persecution? The church of Philadelphia, the Bible says that God was going to set them before an open door that no man could open and no man could close. It was going to be an open door. And you know what happened in the 1700s? World missions exploded in the 1700s and 1800s. That was the church of Philadelphia. And you know what he says about the last church, Laodicea? It's not good. The church would be wealthy, the church would be lazy, and the church would have need of nothing, but yet we're poor, naked, and wretched in the eyes of God. Is that not the church of today? Now here's what's interesting. After Revelation chapter 3, the church is never mentioned again on the earth. Chapters 4, chapter 5, it's all about the throne of God. We'll all be around the throne of God. People from every kindred, from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue. All those beautiful people groups, we're all going to be around the throne of God. But then chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so on is all about the tribulation period. And do you know where the church is during the tribulation period? We're in heaven. Why? Because the trumpet at that point had already sounded. The dead in Christ has already rose first. We who were alive and remain, we've already been called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Amen. And then at the end of all of that, the last, the final great rebellion of Satan and mankind against God Almighty will be the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when the second coming of Jesus truly is. And do you know who will come with him? The blood-bought church. Amen? So what's the difference between the rapture and the second coming? The difference is Christ comes in the clouds in the rapture and we go to be with him. What's the difference in the second coming? He's going to physically touch down on earth and we're going to be with him.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast and would like to hear more great content, you can always download our free mobile app, Awaken to Grace, where you can request prayer, find sermons, articles, blogs, music, podcasts, as well as support us financially. You can also visit either of our websites at www.preachingchristchurch.com or www.awakentograce.com for more information about our church or our resource ministry. Thank you for listening to Awaken to Grace.